What's the most important resource that you have? If you really thought about this deeply, I think you'd come to the same conclusion that Joey and I did. It's time. In our newest book, What's Without Wall Street, The 3 Steps to Financial Freedom Through Passive Income, we talk about how are we tracking that time? What is the thing that we can do to get more of that time back?
That's right. If you've ever been listening to our podcast and thought, man, it would be amazing if I could take all the things that you guys have learned over the last 10 years and just summarize them, put them in some way to easily digest them and take action, that's what this book is all about. You're not going to want to miss it. Go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/new book and get your copy today.
I won't say that I'm the most prepared person that you've ever met, especially if you ask my daughter on certain mornings when we're trying to get out of the house, and I'm probably the last one getting to the car. But Joey, I love preparing for things like vacations. Right now I'm in the process, our family's going on vacation in April, and I've been looking at every travel site. I'm reading like the top things to do when you get there. What is it that, you know, my 5-year-old is going to like? What is it that my 12-year-old is going to like? Like, preparation is fun to me in that regard. Now, another thing I'm preparing for is the Winter Olympics.
Oh, man, that's actually, I really don't care.
What are you talking about? How could you love the Winter Olympics, man?
I mean, dude, we live in the South. Like, I mean, I don't see snow, but every once in a while, like,
exactly.
This is not something I'm like, man, I can't wait to go bobsled, you know, next week or whatever.
Well, I'm not talking about like Cool Runnings here. I mean, believe me, I'm a Cool Runnings fan. I love John Candy in that movie.
Who doesn't love Dougie Duck?
Come exactly. On. That was a great movie. No, I mean, of course you love ski jumping.
Oh, I mean, I just want to try that one good time, but then I'm probably in the hospital.
I don't know if I want to try it. I would love to envision myself flying through the air. I would want to envision what the end of that jump would look like. But there's so many sports, like the speed skating, the short speed skating deal.
Yes.
The luge. I mean.
Oof. Now, everybody's favorite, though, is curling, right?
Oh,
is that
my goodness.
Is it still a sport?
Can you call that a sport?
You know the guys that are out there with the little broom in front of the thing.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
They're sweeping.
It's sort of like bocce ball on ice, right? That's what it is?
That's right.
But it's so boring. Like, I can't even imagine. But like alpine skiing stuff. I mean, whenever people are putting their life at danger, that's what makes it interesting for me.
That's right.
I mean, like track and field during the Summer Olympics, it's just like, that's great, you run fast. But I mean, the worst thing that's going to happen to one of those guys is like they pull a hammy or something.
Yeah, pull a hammy.
But going down that slope at 100 miles an hour, however fast they're going, like it's Wipeout City. Like, get some popcorn and let's just check this out because who knows what's going to happen.
Well, Rusty, as you know, we're not here to talk about specifically the Winter Olympics or your vacation as much as I know you're looking forward to it. But you don't just prepare for those things. I know you well enough. You love preparing for financial windfalls. That's what we're going to be talking about on today's episode. Tune in.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Joey, I think of the idea of starting a business from scratch as an entrepreneur as one of the more exciting things that you can do. Just being able to create all the systems yourself, you know, have the space. I mean, you and I, when we built out our building, we got to make it exactly the way we wanted to.
That's right.
But one of the scary parts, one of the areas that's not as fun is the fact that you have to go and create something that didn't exist before. There's some businesses out there that have been running, executing, just knocking it dead for 10, 20, 30 years. Can you imagine being able to walk into one of those businesses? The business owner turns to you and just hands you the keys and says, here you go.
Oh, we talk about this a lot. I mean, this is a great thing, but it's also kind of, it's one of those things you have to count the cost, right? I mean, we've all gone through those challenges of creating those systems, of going through the startup phase.
It's hard.
It's super hard. So the idea of just coming into a business that's already running and just maybe putting your thumbprint on it, maybe doing a little tweak here or there to make it better, that's what everybody's looking for, isn't it?
Well, I think you want the benefit of that. I mean, the idea of creating all those things are fun, but just having somebody hand you the keys and you getting to reap the benefits of all that reward, that's what we're talking about today. When we're talking about preparing for windfalls of cash and why that's important, why we need to do those sort of things, it's the idea of our money having worked for us for a long period of time and us use it, and then us getting the benefit of the end. The windfall of money coming in and now us having all of that money that's been working for us for 20 or 30 years is like somebody handing us the keys. That's the analogy I'm trying to pull together here, because most of the time we're not preparing for these things. And I want to really get into that, Joey, because the person who's out there who's saying, yeah, I know I got kids that are leaving, right? They're going to be off the payroll at some point. I know, good way of saying it.
Yeah,
I know that I'm going to sell this business in the future, or I know that I'm going to sell this asset that I own.
Right, real estate or whatever it is.
But what do I do then, right?
That's right. And I don't think, at least in our world, we've seen this over and over, people don't even know that it's possible to prepare in advance for those. It's almost like it can't be proactive. You have to kind of react to those. But whether it's an inheritance, and you and I kind of know what we're talking about here, but windfalls can come in all those various forms.
How many times have you heard somebody say, well, I know I'm going to inherit some money, but I don't want to plan on it?
Yeah. I mean, it's because I don't think they know that there's a way.
Well, right? I think there's some modesty there, humility there, that you want to say, hey, I'm going to be able to create on my own, which is, that's great. And that's important. But not preparing, not actually knowing that these sort of things, that would be like, you know, at Christmas time, your family is the one who hosts everybody. And you're going to have typically anywhere between 10 and 30 people come over. And you're like, I know that's probably going to happen, but I tell you what, we're not going to go to the grocery store. I mean, we're not going to have enough food to feed everyone. We're not going to clean up the house.
Oh.
It just doesn't make sense. And the same,
and that's a train wreck.
And a simple example of that is the same way. Why would we not prepare for windfalls of cash? And also, when we don't prepare, we're going to lose out on a lot.
That's right. And I don't mean to beat up on this, because I know we just did a few weeks ago, but Dave Ramsey, unfortunately, not doing a great job here. Okay. He is always talking about, make sure you pay off all your debt. So that, why? Because you can start saving at some mystical time in the future. How many times have we met someone who has worked their whole lives into their 50s and 60s, done a great job of trying to just stay within the lines, paying off all debt, paying cash for everything. And then what do? They've left themselves the shortest period of time to allow money to work on their behalf.
Yeah, time starts working against you in that situation. Instead of having put money to work over long periods of time, even if it was little amounts of money, you know, I know I've talked about the idea of that movie Cool Hand Luke and just the constant ups and downs, or your analogy is, you know, riding in a car and what the difference of the gas mileage is whenever you're in town versus on the highway, the stopping and starting. Well, that's what happens with people. They don't get the advantage of having it work all along. And that's why it's so important to prepare for windfalls, is if you can put money to work over a long period of time, you get that advantage of somebody handing you the keys at 30 years, because you've actually had money working and all those processes, versus, like you said, having to start from scratch with 5, 10, 15 years left. And you're saying, oh, I hope this will actually work out. I hope I will actually have enough money when I start saving in the future.
Right. So my hope in us talking about this today is that, you know, we would allow people to know that there is a better option, that there's a way to be proactive here, not just reactive.
Well, if you think about this, and let's take just a very simple analogy or a simple way that we can apply this, is the idea of paying yourself first. Robert Kiyosaki said that, right? That the creditors are always going to loudly knock on your door. It's not like they're going to be silent. Yeah. You're going to know they're going to want their money. And for 99.99% of us as Americans, we pay them.
That's right. We find
a way to pay them. Sometimes it's really hard to pay them, but we find ways to pay them. But we don't pay ourselves first. And that's the beauty of what we're talking about here is find ways to pay ourselves first, because the creditors will always loudly knock and we will always find a way to pay them. But we're silent a lot of times.
Yeah,
we need to be loud.
It's kind of like built-in accountability with your creditors. They're going to get theirs no matter what. You know, we've dealt with this ourselves, right? Having to pay. Actually, there's a great example of when me and my wife were first married. We had money in the bank in savings, but I was, again, in the mortgage business, as we've talked about a number of times. And some of those months are really good, and some of those months are really bad.
Especially early on, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we talked about starting a business. That's what you're doing
in
the mortgage business, just trying to create a brand and all this. And I remember specifically, there's, if you can kind of imagine this piece of paper we had, just a simple, you know, little piece of paper we kept in our desk in the study, and we'd pull it out every month and look at, okay, did we have to take money from our savings account to pay the bills this month? So we'd have the number at the top, and then we'd have negative $2,000. Okay, I had to take $2,000 from my savings account to pay the bills this month. And we were doing that because we wanted to keep in front. Like, we need to make sure we put that money back.
We wanted it like top of mind.
Right. We needed to stay top of mind. And so then the next month, maybe we had a great month and we put $1,000 back. So we're kind of keeping tabs.
Yeah, kind of like a ledger or something. That's basically what you were doing?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's pretty interesting. Like, how many entries did you have on this thing? Like, was it multiple pieces of paper? Well, was it one or what was it?
It was one piece of paper. We started kind of going over on the back side of it and down the corner, you know, around the sides. But it was just a way for us to be honest with that cash flow. Like, it's going in, it's coming out, but it was just through a simple savings or checking account.
Now, how long did you guys do that for?
I got to tell you, I think when we moved, it was probably within a year or two of us being married. That kind of got lost in the shuffle. And
they didn't make the move?
Yeah, it didn't make the move.
So. You probably just started making more money. And so then you're like, yes, I probably don't need to keep track as closely.
That kind of takes care of itself, yeah.
Well, right. That's what happens though, right? I mean, but how awesome that simple exercise that you were doing was keeping you accountable to the money that was coming in and out of your account. How long ago has that been?
That was, golly, well, in June, it's going to be 15 years we've been married.
So maybe like 13 years ago?
Yeah, probably about 13 years.
If you would have been keeping track of all the times you've had to dip into quote unquote savings versus what you put back, how much money, Joey, would you have if you would have done that?
It's a big number, but what I will say,
you're getting all deceptive. You're like, I don't want to address that.
Yeah, I'm not, it's too painful. But I will tell you this. As you well know, because we use life insurance policies as our savings, so separating out what we used to use was a savings account, checking account, and a ledger piece of paper. When we use our life insurance policies now for that purpose, they're actually keeping up with a ledger on our behalf. They're keeping up with loans that are outstanding that we can then pay back. They show the money coming out, money going in. So that function is being handled now by the insurance company.
Well, and that's a beautiful thing that you're pointing that out, because not all of us think about that with our insurance contracts that we have when we take loans out. It is keeping us accountable to what we're using good way, because really, if we're not preparing for windfalls, if we know that they're coming, sometimes it's okay to realize that, hey, I'm going to use this money, whether it's for an investment or for a lifestyle expense or whatever it may be, and know that, hey, I'm going to accrue a little interest on this loan. But at the end of the day, I'm going to have this windfall of money. I'm going to be able to dump back in. And as we've already talked about in several different episodes about how these insurance policies work, they compound regardless of the money being borrowed out, because our money is coming. We're actually getting money from the insurance company as a lien against the insurance policy. So our policy is growing regardless of what happened. So yeah, that's sort of that example of, we've got 20 years, 30 years of growth on the policy as if it had never been touched. And then also we get a windfall of money. We get to pay back all these loans that we've been keeping track of.
Okay. So you and I obviously know what you're talking about. It's a little bit ambiguous, a little bit hard to follow, but I like to think about the picture of like someone digging a hole. Mm-hmm. Okay. Especially early on in a business, right? You are digging a hole. You're putting a lot of time and energy and money into building a business. So if you're digging over the first 3 to 5 years, and then all of a sudden you get past that time frame and now your cash flow's increased. And now you've got big, let's say, assets that are being sold or whatever it might be. We've talked about various different types of windfalls of cash. Now, if you've got that hole, you've got a place to start dumping that cash back. But the good news is it's not like the savings account because we're using that life insurance policy. We never removed the dirt. The dirt was never removed. And so it's constantly growing that whole time. Now we just got a loan against that that we're repaying and we're getting the benefit. As you mentioned, the long-term growth has never stopped growing.
And that's so vital to actually building wealth is having, I mean, the age-old adage of compounding interest is one of the best ways to build and grow and sustain wealth. But most people, the way that they use money, they're taking it from accounts and they're spending it. So they're taking it out of an account that no longer can earn interest and they spend, they consume the money. But at some point in the future, they want to replace the money because they had a windfall. Like one of their investments actually gave them money. That's a novel idea. Or, you know, a kid got out of the house and they no longer have the $1,000 to $10,000 expense or whatever their monthly expenses are for those. But now they have to go back and, as they said, start filling up a hole. It's just like filling up a tank with water and then just emptying it out. Filling up tank and emptying it out. They never get the benefit. They only get to earn interest on what's left in the tank. What you're explaining with your insurance policies is that they're growing the whole time. Yet we have a lien against them. So it always gives us the ability to go back and dump money in. Now, if we don't ever repay it, Joey, if we don't ever repay the loans of the insurance company, then we don't get the advantage of it. There's just nothing there for us.
That's right. We got to be honest with that. I mean, this is not some magical thing. We never want to peddle something that is seems like a magical miracle.
Too good to be true
like
or whatever.
Yeah.
You don't get the benefit of it. But the fact that it is that, yeah, you get a chance if you do have money to go stick it back in there. And instead of starting a business from scratch every single time you put a new deposit back into your account, you're getting the benefit of buying the business that's 10, 15, or 20 years old. You're getting that magic of that interest that had been compounding on what the money would have been worth had it been in there from the very beginning.
Right. And what kind of hope does this bring to people? In my personal opinion, it seems like every year my kids get a little bit older and we're in the most, I say this all the time, we're in the most expensive time of our lives. It seems like the activities get more expensive. The food costs get more expensive. The power bills. I mean, we talked about those on other episodes. Everything seems to be increasing. So the fact that I can utilize cash today when I know it's at its all-time highest need, and especially people getting into college with their kids and stuff, but never give up the growth that I'm going to need to have retirement well. That is what we're talking about.
I was on a phone call the other day and a guy was asking me, hey, what do you tell people to do with windfalls? Let's assume that I had $100,000 in a windfall. What would you tell them to do? Well, I would say the first thing I do is tell them to repay the loans on the insurance policies that they've been using the whole time.
Right.
That's the first thing I think about is because that is the absolute best place for me to go stick a windfall. I'm getting the advantage of having a policy have worked for 10, 15, 20, 50 years, however long it is. And in Nelson Nash's book, one of our favorite authors, his book, Building Your Warehouse of Wealth, he talks about anticipating windfalls and he talks about what the penalties are of not actually preparing for those. He said, if I didn't prepare for these windfalls, if I knew these events were going to transpire in the future, I would have given up. And he goes into specific statistics and numbers of how much money he would have forfeited, in essence, by not having done that. Because we use these policies. I mean, I'll just give a personal example. I use my insurance policies to pay for taxes every year. So I put dollars in that I turn around and take dollars out in order to be able to pay for the tax bill. Well, the first couple of years, Joey, I did that, by the way. I put a dollar in, I could take out 60 cents or 70 cents or 80 cents. Now I put a dollar in, I can take out $1.10, $1.40 next year, $2.50 in 5 years, whatever the number is. Well, that's when I start winning. But at the end of the day, I still have an insurance policy with a loan against it, and I don't have any cash value outside of unless I put a new premium in. But whenever I sell one of these rental properties that I have, whenever one of these businesses that we've invested in has a windfall, I then can take that lump sum of money and pay it back. And bang, the earnings on that dollar, because we talk about that. Would you want to, you know, he had a policy, Nelson Nash had a policy he shared with us today. He said he bought 1959,
right,
that he puts $388 in. And what did he say the guaranteed growth and dividend was for this year?
I want to say it was like $5,000.
$5,000. What's the multiple of that?
I can't. You put me on the spot here.
That's over 10 times, right?
That's right.
That's over 10 times. The question, though, is how much money would you want to be putting into something that in the future you would earn 10 times on it?
Oh, as much as I possibly could.
As much as you possibly could. So that's why I started thinking, well, what's one of the biggest expenses I have every year?
Taxes.
Okay, so I'm going to run that amount of cash through an insurance contract every single year. Well, I'm going to build up several, you know, a high six-figure, seven-figure number over the next 10 to 20 years. Man, when one of these opportunities that I've already put in place pays off, then I have a place. I'm not asking the question like that guy asked me the other day, what would you do with the windfall? Because he's thinking, I'm going to start something from scratch.
Right.
I'm saying, no, I'm going to take that windfall, and I'm going to stuff it in here, and now I've got a contract that's 10, 20, 30 years old with all of that benefit, all of that momentum.
That's huge.
From day one, as if I had started it 30 years ago, which I did, but I get all the benefits today.
Right. And that's actually a great quote we actually talk about with our clients all the time is, how do we get away from the idea of saying, I wish I would have started this 20 years ago, yeah, right? That is such a common thing when we're talking to people about this concept. Man, I wish I had known about this. I wish I had done this 20 years ago. That's what we're trying to help people have a plan to get in place. And so, as you know, I mean, we want to always encourage people, go ahead and figure out, try to identify. The first step is identifying what windfalls already exist,
yeah,
that you can kind of go ahead and see coming down the road, whether it's kids moving out, whether it's
selling a business
and a big expense is going to be going away, or selling a business or a piece of real estate. A lot of my clients are heavily into real estate. Those are windfalls that are going to be coming. Identify those on the front end.
And actually have some sort of financial vehicle that allows you to prepare for it. We talk all the time about life insurance. I mean, there's other financial vehicles that you can borrow against. I mean, there's not many with the advantages of the life insurance policy, but make sure you have some sort of financial vehicle that's going to prepare you for it. Because I can tell you, a checking account is not going to do it. And I love the fact that you guys kept a ledger. And I know over that 2 years that you did that, you were better off. But still, you were just, you know, filling up the tank and emptying it.
Right.
You were not getting the value of what it had been worth since it's in there from the beginning. But you got to have some sort of vehicle that will do that. I know people say, well, I can borrow against my 401k. I'm like, nah, sort of, not really. You can't go back and put back years and years. You can only borrow out so much. That's, I don't want to put your
limitations.
Yeah. I mean,
absolutely.
401ks are jail for money, by the way. I don't know if you've ever heard the analogy that they're a prison for your money and parole at 59 and a half.
That's right.
And when you think about it like that, you'll quit bringing up those examples. But
yeah,
life insurance policy, as I know it, is one of the best vehicles. I do think you need to have some vehicle that'll help you prepare for it.
Yeah. So again, identify what windfalls are coming. Make sure you have a financial vehicle that's going to make the most of that windfall, right? Again, preparing in advance. And then lastly, as we talk about quite frequently, is use a strategy that pays for today's expenses. Again, the most expensive time in your life, potentially, and helps you prepare for those windfalls. So that's really kind of our call to action is, you know, make sure you have those things in place. You've prepared in advance, you've got the vehicle in place, and then use it.
Well, how about this? We created a case study just to show the impacts of this. Instead of like being in theory and philosophical, we actually went through a case study, Joey, and we went and did some math. You know, we love getting very objective with our conversations. And
right,
the best way to do that, it's hard to get objective on a podcast like this.
That's right.
Whenever it's hard to show numbers. So that's why we went and we created a case study that talked specifically about windfalls, and it talked about how those will play out over time mathematically. So go to the episode page and download that case study. I think that'll be a great way for you to see what the cost is of not doing something like this, and also what are some of the advantages.
Right. And then if you just need some help on this, as far as identifying those windfalls and getting a plan in place, you can always set up an appointment with us for this purpose. So we'll put another thing in the show notes about setting up an appointment. 15 minutes, we'll just talk about it and see if it's something that you've identified that we can take advantage of and help you with. Either one of those resources are available in the show notes.
Well, this is kind of an interesting episode that we've done here, Joey, on windfalls, because it's not an everyday talked about topic. It's definitely not in the Wall Street mindset. Oh. It is thinking outside of the box. It is trying to prepare for things that we know are going to happen in the future. But it goes back to if we prepare for things. If I do a better job preparing to get out of my house in the morning, I'll actually get there on time. If I do a better job preparing for the vacations we go on, we'll probably have a little better time. If I do a better job preparing for windfalls, I'll be that much more successful. And as we talk about all the time, ways to reduce stress, I will have less stress and less anxiety because I know I already have a plan for what's coming.
Right. And we don't want people to miss out on really generational wealth that is under their nose. We don't have time to go into it today, but we talked about family banking in one of the previous episodes. Great example of preparing for a windfall.
Yeah.
Right. If you know that that's in your overall family's plan, you've already got that built in. And we talked about episode 9, the compounding effect of your money. So just a couple of things I want to bring people's
point back to you. If you didn't get a chance to listen to those, go back and listen to those. And we thank you so much for listening to this. Please don't forget to give us a review. We love to hear your feedback. And it's a great way also for others to be able to find us based upon those reviews. Until next time.
Russ, what a great episode just to be able to talk about something that, again, we're so passionate about bringing people ideas that they never knew existed. And so the idea of preparing in advance for a windfall, and I love how you use the analogy of a business that's already been started up 10 years. I mean, what a cream puff opportunity for business owners we're working with all the time. I mean, they would love to step into that. So we're helping them prepare for that kind of thing.
Yeah, one of the takeaways I had from this episode, Joey, listening to you talk about the ledger, I mean, that was pretty cool. And I know that not everybody owns an insurance contract like you and I have. And even if they started with that simple process, I think that was a really neat idea to just help you identify how much money is traveling through our hands. And, you know, I hope they'll go and they'll watch the case study, because that, to me, will probably bring this more a little bit clearer and right. Also help emphasize the importance of why this episode, why we wanted to do it.
Yeah. Don't take our opinions all the time. Just go back to the math. Go back to how can I take advantage of this for my family? So obviously, great episode. Looking forward to the next episode.
Yeah, next episode is going to be pretty cool. It's another interview. And this is actually one of those episodes I'm really excited about for several reasons. One, because it's a friend. And secondly, it's somebody who has been super successful. We have one of the more successful moms, wives, business owners who are going to be in and they're going to share how she owns and operates over 10 McDonald's franchises, Joey.
Of all places, right?
And manages the home life and everything else so gracefully. And I'm really excited. I'm intrigued by McDonald's. I mean, ever since I read Michael Gerber's book, The E-Myth, on how successful McDonald's is, you may not know this, they're one of the largest privately owned real estate groups that exist out right there. They own, next to the governments, I think they own more real estate than anybody else. They also are one of the largest distributors of toys. Happy Meals get a lot of toys out there, but they have great, interesting ways to build wealth. And so I'm interested how this whole franchising concept works, how it works within McDonald's. And then the fact that she didn't get into this blindly. This was something that her parents had owned the McDonald's franchises. So she's investing in things that she knows and understands. Take a listen from a little clip from the episode and look forward to seeing you next week.
You said earlier, remind us the ages of your kids.
3, 5, and 7.
Wow. So this is, that's not the where it starts getting easier per se. That's still, you're in the thick of it every day.
Right. Well, and I just think in general, time management is huge. So I really try to make sure I'm responding well on time management. And I think I'm always trying to live my life in a way that's very proactive, not reactive. And I think that's just kind of an overarching theme to my life, I guess, if you will, whether it be working out or personal life or business life, with time with my kids, just anything I can do to try to catch an issue or try to just be proactive with my day or proactive with my life instead of responding all the time to chaos or responding to problems. And I think that helps me. And I teach that to my guys all the time. If they'll prep this week and be proactive with their time this week, next week's going to run really great. So when you're next week, you won't be, you know, having to respond to all these fires all the time. And so it'll make your life a lot better.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.